that morning, because that's the title of my message, is Keep Running On. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm not sure whether I will do this. You may, at the end of this sermon, maybe hear that song again. I'm not sure. Once in a while I do that, but we'll see how it plays out here. But take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read together this morning just three verses, the first three verses, 1 through 3. We don't have a whole lot of scripture here to read this morning as far as our text. So we'll stand and read all three verses together, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read together verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we do thank you for today, and we thank you for this message, and we thank you for this time that we get to preach your word, Lord. I just pray, Holy Spirit of God, that that hearts will be encouraged this morning. I pray that if there is some discouragement this morning, that we'll leave here today with a little bit more spring in our step, that we'll be encouraged about keeping on going on for you in this race that we have to run, that you have for us to run. And I pray, dear Lord, that you bless this service now. Empower me now, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Of course, probably this message came in light of a difficult few days, I'll admit. Once in a while, your preacher, okay, has a few difficulties, if you will, but God always sees us through. Let me just say this, and no doubt there's some of you this morning, you've had some difficulties too. You're probably sitting here this morning and you're thinking of something, and I hope for just a little while you can just go ahead and push it aside, and I hope this morning that the message will help you as we preach on Keep Running On. Of course, it no place in the Bible does it say, does it promise that the Christian life is easy. It'd be nice if it was always a bed of roses, amen? It'd be nice if we could always be on that mountaintop that I preach often about. It'd be nice if we could always live on the top side, if you will, but it's just not reality. And let me just say this, one of these days, all trials and tribulation will be gone, amen? One of these days, Jesus is going to go ahead and part them clouds, and all the weight that you feel maybe this morning, or that you have felt, or that you will feel down the road, will be gone. But I've said many times, it's Christian life is not always easy. We have difficulties, but the blessings, let me just say this, the blessings far outweigh the difficulties. The Bible says that we will have to share struggles, though. The Bible says in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Listen, when you are in Christ, if you will, you can have the peace in knowing that you're going to get through them trials and them battles. You know, so often sometimes we get so disillusioned or get so frustrated that when the battles come, when the dark clouds come, we kind of forget who to run to. You know, even as Christians, even the best of Christians, we get tired of the battle. Sometimes we get weary of the battle. Sometimes we just can't see too far ahead, and we're just ready to kind of bow out of the race, or we sometimes prefer to be sidelined for just a little while and get a breath and so forth. But the key this morning is we got to keep running on. We got to keep running on. Listen, you know what? Jesus has overcome the world. So if you stay in Christ and you live in Christ and you live in the Word of God, you get your encouragement from the right sources, if you will. You know what? You can keep running on. You will have the strength to go ahead and fight your battles. Jesus is saying in that verse in John 16:33, I will give you peace. The world will cause tribulation, but he says, I have the strength to overcome it, and through me, you will too. You know what? Through Jesus Christ, you can overcome the world and all your trials that you're going through. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let me ask you a question, Christian, this morning. Are you down this morning? Are you discouraged this morning? Are you maybe some dark clouds as of late come by your way this morning? Where are you getting your strength? Where are you getting your strength? Are you at a point now? Here you are, you're in this race that we are run that we'll talk a little bit more about in just a moment. But have you stumbled and are you down right now? You haven't gotten up? You haven't brushed yourself off? You haven't gone ahead and done what the Bible says, a just man falls seven times and rises up again? You just kind of staying down right now? Hey, you know what? I want to encourage you, get up and brush yourself off and keep on running. You know what? Not just for your cause, but for the cause of Christ. Not just for your cause and for the cause of Christ, but for others who are following in behind you. You know what? Who are watching you. Hey, get up and brush yourself off this morning. The trials will come, and often we'll be tempted to quit on God and drop out of the race that He wants us to race, to run. You know what? We all each have an individual race designed for us, and we must run it. Sometimes we may feel things aren't fair. And so our desire, if you will, to quit, or our desire to go ahead and cut out on God, if you will, or to serve God, if you will, kind of gets diminished, if you will. It seems that here in this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, these Christians were enduring a tough time. And in light of that, I see that the writer is trying to encourage them to keep on keeping on for the race of the Lord, for the Lord. Let me just say this as your preacher. I'm asking you to get up and keep on keeping on in your race. Don't you quit. Don't you go ahead and back out on God. We see the Christian life is likened to a race here, not necessarily talking about a 100-yard dash, but it is a marathon. It is lifelong. It starts from the very day you get saved till the very day that you die. It is a lifelong marathon. It is a lengthy race, the race that runs through your whole life. This race of yours is going to require much preparation, much training, much strength, exercise in the book, if you will, exercise from listening to men of God preach, exercise in your daily walk with God and your prayer life. Hey, that's the source of strength that you need to keep on keeping on. You keep on running on. By the way, what you do with this book will determine what God will do with you. I'll say that again. What you do with this book right here will determine what God will do with you. Listen, if you want to go ahead and make it to the finish line strong and finish strong, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have I'm in the race. You know, if you want to go ahead and finish strong, you know, you got to be in the book. How often I say that, but you got to go ahead and get the strength from the Word of God. What you do with this book each and every day will determine how you finish your race. What you do with this book, it will determine what God does with you. You know, this race is going to require much endurance. It's going to require much stamina. I'll admit that, you know, I know this morning. I can look in the mirror. I'm in no physical shape to go run the Boston Marathon. No amens, okay? But I ought to be as well as you. We ought to be in tough spiritual shape to run this Christian race. You know, I've seen it in these years, almost a dozen years of full-time service, and even before, and I never quite realized it before I got into the ministry so much, but I realize it now. I've seen people get tired and just run away, quit the race, jump ship, if you will. You know, I think of Jonah. Speaking of ship, I think of Jonah. Part of God's race for Jonah was to go to Nineveh, but you see, Jonah didn't want to go. A little bit, of course, rebellion got in the way, and he went the other way. I've seen way too many people today. I've seen churches. I've seen preachers. I've seen good, godly people. You know what? Somewhere along the way, you know, God, they're running their race. They're running their race. But when God goes ahead and gives you specific something to do, how do you respond? God, listen, you know, I'm talking to Jonah here a minute in his race. God, listen, you know, that's, no. And we turn the other way. We leave the presence of the Lord. We go the opposite direction. You know, listen, this race, we ought to be in tough spiritual shape to run the Christian race. It will not be your talent that will keep you in the race. It will not be your speech that will keep you in your race, good eloquent speech. It will not be your physique that will keep you in this particular race. Go ahead, you can pump all the iron that you want. You can run all the practice miles that you want. You can put on the ankle weights if you want, but that is not what is necessary to run this race. Thank God, some of you say amen. But this race will only be won with the almighty hand and power of God Almighty upon your life. This race can only be run with spiritual armor, as it says in Ephesians 6, to be girded with the armor and a close walk with God. So are you ready to run this race? Are you in shape this morning? Listen, Christian, are you in shape this morning to run your race? Boy, you know, you talk to young Christians. I talk to young Christians, baby Christians, the black mic, I guess it is, baby Christians. And boy, you know, you remember them first few. Testing. Oh, okay, we got power there, okay? And boy, you're running on. Boy, you talk to young baby Christians. They're excited. That weight of sin is lifted and so forth. But you know what? Sometimes here's what I do when I talk to young baby Christians. You know what? Sometimes you got to go ahead and kind of control them a little bit. Now, don't get me wrong. I want them to run, and I want them to have stamina. I want them to grow, but sometimes they start running so fast that when they get down here, they're not ready for it when that battle comes. They're not ready for it. That's why we try to disciple them. You win them. You get them in the baptistry. You want to walk them down the aisle. You want to get them into church and church membership. You want to get them in a Sunday school class where they can be discipled and learn the Word of God. You encourage them to get into Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You encourage them to walk with God and have some Bible study with them and teach them some things about the Lord and so forth so that they can grow. But here's what happens. A baby Christian often, and then they get down here, and they've only been saved for a little while. But whoa, whammo, that battle, that sickness, that financial problem, they just didn't see it coming. And what they do is, for long, because they was not able to sustain it, they probably were just so excited that they kind of missed out on reading the Word of God. They missed out on a few things, the things that are necessary to give you strength so that when that whammo situation comes, you will be able to endure. Listen, let me tell you something. You know what? You know, the Christian life, you got to have some grit. This race that you run, you got to have some strength. You've got to have some power. You've got to keep on running. But are you willing to go ahead and get in shape for this race? Are you in shape for this very important race? A race that determines how God can use you. A race that others will see you run. And if you go ahead and you fall out, if you bow out, I wonder how many other people will bow out because you did. To run this race, it involves salvation by grace through faith. This race is not for the unsaved. But you know what? Everybody can run this race. If you're under the sound of my voice this morning, you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. You know what? I want to encourage you, you know, get into this race. You say, well, preacher, it sounds very tough. Yes, it is tough. But let me tell you something. Again, I'll take all the blessings of the Christian life. I'll take all the joys that the Christian life brings. I'll take it all. I don't want hell. You know, and the Bible does teach, there's a heaven and a hell. There's no in between. You know, and God's love was bestowed through his son Jesus on that cross, and he died on that cross. He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later he rose again. He shed every drop of his blood. Let me tell you something this morning. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your personal Savior, boy, you ought to know him. You ought to have that gift of eternal life. You ought to know these things that I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can have a no-soul Christianity this morning. You can know it in your heart that if you were to die, if you would take your last breath here today, God forbid, you can know that you have eternal life. But you know what? This race that I'm talking about to Christians today, it's not for the unsaved. You cannot run it in your own will. You cannot run it with your own thoughts of how to get to heaven. You must be saved. You must have that strength that comes from the Lord. That race begins at salvation. And I encourage you. Let me just say this. I love this race. I wouldn't go ahead and change this race. Oh, sure, the valleys come. Oh, sure, I've gone ahead and stumbled a few times. But you know what? I don't want to stay down. You know why I don't want to stay down? Because of my church people. You know why I don't want to stay down? Because of my children. You know why I don't want to stay down? Because of my family. Because I know the benefits of this race. I know the outcome of this race. And let me tell you something. I can't wait until I see Jesus at the end of my life. Hey, you know what? I want to run until the very day that I stop breathing. And And you know what? One day we're going to enjoy the rewards of the race that we run in the presence of Jesus. Amen. It also involves a growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I talked about that a little bit. We must grow. You must desire him. You lost your desire for Christ this morning. Do you have that longing for Christ this morning? God, I long to be with you. Did that longing burn in your soul somewhere before you came to church this morning? Do you have that scheduled time where you walk with God? I long to be with you. Are you so longing for him that you can't wait until after you go ahead and wash your face a little bit and wake up a little bit? Do you so long to have that quiet time with the Lord somewhere in the morning, just you and him? Do you have that desire? You know, this race involves a growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's no wonder why Christians go ahead and bow out of this race and just kind of become sidelined, if you will, in watching others go by simply because we are not growing. You got to have the strength. You got to get the strength from the Word of God. And it will take an all-out effort. What it involves, it's going to take an all-out effort on your behalf to put your flesh under subjection and totally release the old man. You know, we don't run well because we still desire that old man. The old flesh kind of keeps picking at you, keeps saying, oh, you don't need to do this. You don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to go to Sunday school. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. The old flesh kind of keeps picking and picking and picking. And it's no wonder why, yeah, you might be on that trail, but you're kind of weighted down simply because the old flesh is picking at you and you've got no growth and you've got no strength to go ahead and shake it off. There's going to be an all-out effort. It involves an all-out effort on your behalf to put the flesh under subjection of God and totally release the old man. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to step up and really run this race for Jesus? I mean, really run this race for Jesus. Are you in the race this morning? You know what? And I am sure that many of us here this morning, you are running your race and you're on it and you know you're on your game and you're going. You're focused on Christ. I'm sure many are here, just like that this morning. But there might be some others that you've stumbled, haven't you? And you just haven't gotten up. Therefore, you just kind of just rolled off that path, if you will, and you're just kind of sitting back and you're just kind of. And maybe there's others here that you're not even in the race simply because you're not saved this morning. I encourage you, get in this race. Are you willing to step up and run for Jesus this morning? Are you in spiritual shape to run the race for Jesus? If you're running this morning, you're on that path this morning, your preacher says, you just keep on running. You keep on running. Let me say this, and I don't mean to go ahead and be a downer, but you know what? Some dark days will come. And you know what? Yeah, and we have the up days too, amen? Boy, we love it when we're on the up days. We love it when we're on the mountaintop. We love it when everything seems great. The blue sky and the sun is shining in our Christian life. Boy, we love it. But let me tell you something, but that doesn't always stay that way. The reality says that. You go ahead and we'll talk about some of these men and ladies in Hebrews 11 momentarily. But you know what? You get up here, but let me tell you something. Even the greatest men of the Bible, greatest preachers of the past, greatest Christians that we even know, you know, they have their down days. But you know what? What will you do when you come on down? What will you do when you get down on the bottom? Will you keep on running? Hey, this morning, if you're running this morning, hey, I encourage you keep on running. If you're not in the race because you're not saved this morning, you start running today. And if you're kind of sidelined this morning, hey, I plead with you, get up and get running again. Get up and get running again. We live in a day and age that runners are consistently kind of dropping out. You look around and you see Christianity and Christians dropping out, heartaches and problems and trials, and they get to a place, I don't want to run this race anymore. You know what? It can be discouraging, can't it? It can be discouraging when you've known people in the past that was once running this race with all they've got. They were running and they were running, but where are they today? Casualty. Boy, my friend, this morning, I don't want you to be a casualty. I don't want you to be one that's a casualty. And then years down the road, we're kind of scratching, whatever happened to so-and-so? Hey, listen, you keep running your race this morning. We need you in this race. The children need you in this race. Those that follow you need you in this race. Your husband needs you in this race. Your wife needs you in this race. Your church needs you in the race. You just keep on running. The world, by the way, needs you in the race. The world, you know what? You may be the only testimony of Jesus. You may be the only Bible that the world will read tomorrow at the workplace. And I hope that you're living in such a way that you're living a testimony that they can see Jesus in you. Hey, the world needs you in this race. It pains me to see Christians dropping out. It ought to pain us to see Christians drop out. It pains me to see churches dropping their standards and their music and debating what really is the Word of God. As a pastor, I've seen way too much of that, and it can be very discouraging. But let me just say this. We will stand for the Word of God here. We will go ahead and keep singing the old songs. We'll keep on preaching the old way. We're just going to stay on the old paths. I just want to go ahead and give you a little blurb. We're just going to stick with it. I don't want to go ahead and bow out of this race, because one day, we will get our reward. Amen. My desire is to encourage you this morning to stay in the race. If you're not in it, start running. If you're sidelined, get back in the race. Whatever it is that you're going through, I'm cheering you on. You just keep on running. Keep running on, as that song said a while ago. Keep running on. You got heartache this morning, you just keep running on. That heartache sometimes can be so heavy, can't it? You just don't want to run. You don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. Kind of get spiritually depressed. But you keep running on. You get in the Word of God, and you allow the strength of the Word of God to go ahead and give you the strength that you need. Trials come, you just keep on running. Challenges keep coming, you just keep on running. Loneliness comes, you just keep on running. Temptation comes, you keep on running. I want you to be able to say with Paul, and I want to be able to say with Paul one day, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And this morning, let's consider some things in this race. Number one, consider those who've gone on before you. The Bible says right here in Hebrews 12, verse 1a, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, this chapter begins, our attention can be drawn back to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, the great faith chapter of the Bible, the place where all the great heroes and heroines of the faith are listed. And these people are the great cloud of witnesses, if you will, that surrounds us as we keep running. And they're up there. I think they're up there. I don't know. Maybe it's like the great grandstand in heaven there, and they're cheering you on. You keep on going. You keep on going. I think of some great preachers in the past that have influenced me, that have been a big help to me in counsel and teaching me in different things. I see them up there when I'm down there in the valley. Hey, Sean, you keep on running. You keep on running. I think of other loved ones that have passed away in my life, and you can too. You picture some of these people. But I think of some of the loved ones, saved loved ones, who have passed away in my life, and they're up there saying, you keep on running. You keep on running. You keep on running. Let me tell you something. Let me say this. They're in the grandstand, if you will, of heaven today, saying, I'm glad I ran. You know what? They know the benefits of running their race and finishing their course and keeping the faith, and they're up there in heaven, and now they're, if you will, they're cheering you on. I think they're saying, you keep on running. Moses up there, you keep on running. Paul is up there, you keep on running. Abraham is up there, you keep on running. Hey, consider those that have gone on before you that ran the race. Get the encouragement from them as they tell you to keep on running. They have run their race. God gave them a course to run. They did not, by the way, run perfectly. You read that list of heroes in Hebrews 11 later on. They weren't perfect people. You know, it'd be good if we would realize sometimes we allow our past, if you will, to keep us from running. You know, I'm saved, but you know, God doesn't really want me in this. Oh, yes, He does. He has a purpose for you. He wants you to run your race. He has a race. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Doesn't matter what's happened to you in the past. Doesn't matter where you've gone in the past. Doesn't matter who you were, if you will, even in the past. But let me tell you something. He has a race designed for you. You keep on running. You know what? All He has to use is sinners. That's it. All He has to use is sinners. You know what? Abraham, he left the will of God for a season. He went to Egypt. When he went down to Egypt, he met this woman, not his wife, Hagar. They had an extramarital affair and had a son, and he's called the friend of God. You know, Abraham, did he run perfectly? No. He didn't run perfectly, but he ran, and he did not quit, and God used him. And you know what? He can use you too. Hey, you know another example? Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob, kind of a trickster, if you will. He was a deceiver. He ran, and he did not quit, and God used him. Hey, you know what? He'll use you too. Sometimes we'll let our past keep us from running and keeping on going. Hey, you know what? Hey, these guys had a past. These guys did some things even in their Christian life that was not right. But they were not perfect. They were sinners just like you and I. But they went ahead and ran and they finished and God used them. Moses was a murderer. Moses had a bad temper. But he ran and he did not quit. And God used him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. Rahab was a harlot. Rahab sold her body for living. She ran and did not quit, and God used her. Hey, you know what? Samson, he was a philanderer and a womanizer. But he kept on running, did not quit, and God used him. David, a great man of God, by the way, but he was an adulterer. He murdered. He plotted to murder. And God called him a man after God's own heart. He ran. Guess what? God used him. You know what? You say, well, I can't run this race. If God can use any one of these men and ladies of God, he can use you. You see, what we do is we allow our excuses why we can't run. You know, if we all went ahead and had an excuse for not running this Christian race, none of us would be running this morning. None of us would be here this morning. Hey, what I'm saying, you keep running on. These people in Hebrews 11, they weren't perfect, but they ran and God used them. Stop looking at all the bad that you've done. You confess it and you run on and don't quit and let God use you. You say, I can't be used because of whatever. You stop looking at what you can't do and stop looking at your past and start looking at what can God do with me now. You know, we just got to get past the past, some of us this morning. You know what? Sometimes it's so easy. We can be satisfied. We're just, okay, I'll come and I'll sit in the church pew and I'm glad that's where you're at. But let me ask you a question. What more can you do? What more can you do in your Christian life? I mean, has the Holy Spirit, or have you allowed the Holy Spirit to go ahead and pick at you and say, you know what? You can do more than this. You know, and by the way, maybe past sin will keep you from being exactly what God wants you to be, but you know what? Don't let your past keep you from running. If you got right with God, you're saved, and confess it, you know what? You can be running this race this morning. But you know what? We often look back there and say, well, I can't be used now. You can be used now. See, what could I do? Well, it's pretty important cleaning a church. It's pretty important driving a bus for little boys and girls. It's pretty important maybe being a worker in a Sunday school. It's pretty important, of course, being faithful in your place every single week in church. It's very important for you to go ahead and read your Bible each and every day so you have the strength so that you don't go back to what you were before and you can keep on running on. It's pretty important for maybe you can go ahead and donate certain things for church work and so forth. It's pretty important to maybe help maintain some of the building. What I'm trying to say, God can use you right where you are this morning. Stop saying I can't be used and say, you know what, allow you today, say I'm going to be used of God. Doesn't matter where you were. You know, you and God make a majority. You and God make a majority. And you know what I'd say, boy, that is a majority. When you, it's just you, little old you, no strength at all. But you know what? You have all of God all over you. You can run. You can go ahead and run this morning. You know, these people in Hebrews 11, they weren't perfect, but God still used them mightily because of the grace of Almighty God. Boy, thank God for his grace. Every single day, I thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. Number two, they receive their reward. They rest today, these cloud of witnesses, they rest today in the Father's presence because they kept on running. They kept on running. Oh, you know what? Had they gone ahead and quit, they would have still obviously got to heaven. They don't work their way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. But let me tell you something, because they remained faithful, because they kept on running. Yes, they may have fallen and stumbled and sinned. They confessed it. They got back off, brushed off, and they kept on running. They kept on running. They kept on running. Boy, think of the rewards, because they stayed faithful down here on this trail, on this race. Think of the rewards that they got because of their faithfulness. Think of all the rewards that you're going to be able to go ahead and cast back to Jesus simply because we did not quit in the Christian life. Hey, listen to me. You know what? They received their reward. They rest today in the Father's presence because they ran well and they received the rewards. One of these days, you know, the battles will be gone, my friend. The trials will be gone, my friend. And one of these days, I mentioned earlier, you know what? Jesus is going to go ahead and roll them clouds back, and he's going to come for his own. One of these days, are you ready, by the way? But you can and you will one day rest in his presence. That's the reward. Number three, they proved that our God is reliable. You know what? We have a reliable God. You know, the Bible says, well, let me just say this. You know, God took care of, I'm talking about the cloud of witnesses here. Talk about those in Hebrews 11. You know, God took care of them just as he does me. I don't think anybody here this morning is really wanting anything. Yeah, maybe we have some desires, obviously, to have some things. But we got clothes on our back. Our needs are met. God honored their faith as he will yours. God has sustained them as he will you. God has used them as he wants to use you. And God got all the glory from their lives as I hope that he will from mine and from yours. You know, the Bible calls them witnesses. Not just because I think they're watching every move, but because they were witnesses and faithful to God. But it means they ran their race. They did not quit. You know, I've been studying David, of course, a lot lately. Been kind of talking about him. I was going to talk about him again Wednesday night. We'll pick him back up. About the sin of David and Bathsheba. You know, I think of his greatness from a lad, a young boy, defeating David and Goliath, being in line to go ahead and be king over Israel, God's anointed. Then, of course, we pick it up where he stays home from work. He should have been out to battle, and, of course, he lusted after Bathsheba. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights. You know, I can't help but think through them very dark times, you know, and there's a scripture there in 1 Samuel, I think it is, that after he had committed his sin with Bathsheba, this thing displeased the Lord. You know, I got thinking, you know what, knowing, and here he was a man of God, yet he fell. I got thinking, you know what, of the misery that he had to be going through. The Holy Spirit of God in his life poking at him, if you will, and I can't help but think of the misery that was going on in his life. And you know what? But he didn't quit. He didn't quit. He didn't go ahead and give up on God. He did not go ahead and quit. You know what? Yes, he was a sinner saved by grace, but he kept on running. You know what? Our God is reliable. He'll never leave you or forsake you. It shows his reliability. If he's reliable to you, boy, we must be reliable to him and run the race that he's designed for us. Hey, run the race. You keep running on this morning. Consider those who've gone on before. In running this race, you need to consider yourself. The Bible says, before seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, that's you and me, lay aside every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what? Let us, we need to make some proper preparations. Whenever you run a marathon, of course, if you run a marathon physically, you know, you watch your diet, you watch what you eat. You exercise. A runner preparing for a race, a physical race, does not come to the starting line with a raincoat on, doesn't have his big old galoshes on, doesn't have all these heavy clothes or jeans or anything on, doesn't have two Twinkies in his hand. Okay, you know what? He comes and he preps for that Boston Marathon, or he preps for that marathon, he preps for that race, and he works and he exercises, he watches his diet, he will have worked out, he probably ran many miles, he put the ankle weights on, he cut off any excess weight, if you will, he cut back on the snacks and the Twinkies and the candy bars, and he laid aside every unnecessary baggage that would go ahead and slow him down. You know what? If you're going to go ahead and properly run this spiritual race, race, if you're going to run this race strong, you know what? You're going to have to lay aside some weights that will hinder you from running this race. I'm talking about weights that may not necessarily be bad, but some weights that may keep you from running and giving your all for God. Some things that may go ahead and keep you from being your best for God in this race. And again, it's not necessarily sinful, but it's sinful when it gets in the way between you and God. That's when it becomes sin. You know, Brother Howes, I remember Brother Howes, a great preacher and a great hero of mine, great preacher. You know, he enjoyed playing softball, and I remember him giving this illustration. He loved softball. He enjoyed it very much. He knew all the stats of even baseball in that day, and back then softball was a very big sport as well. He knew all the stats of the pitchers and everything. He was a very good pitcher, by the way. And but he had to stop. He had to cut back. He did not go ahead and stop following everything about it. But you know what? He was so dominated. He knew everything. But you know what? He noticed that his walk was with God was being hindered because of it was a weight to him. And so he had to go ahead and cut off some weights that would hinder him from being all he could be for God. Our race gets affected by our lack of walking with God. There's baggage that we perhaps carry that may not be necessarily bad, but it may not be necessary for you to carry either. You know, it may be television. You know, television, you can go ahead and look at it both ways, good or bad. You know what? You can enjoy the different things, but there's a whole lot of bad there. And I say often, you better control that television. There's so much that comes across that screen that gets into your child's mind. Boy, you ought to be very careful. But the truth of the matter is, you ought not let TV go ahead and get in the way of your spiritual run for God. You ought not let sports, if you will. Today, we're very, very, very big on sports. What a day to be a Boston fan, huh? I know the Bruins lost, but still hope for the Celtics and others. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I enjoy sports, watching sports. You want me to go out and play sports? I'll have a heart attack, so don't ask for that. But I enjoy sports. But you know what? It wouldn't help my Christian life one bit if I got the schedule of Boston Celtics and the Boston Red Sox Celtics and everything. Wouldn't help our church. Wouldn't help my family. Wouldn't help me anything one bit. And if I had the money to do this, to go ahead and fly to every away game and go to every home game, it wouldn't help me one bit. You know what? Is it necessarily bad to go? No. But you know what it would be? It would be a weight that would hinder my walk with God. It'd be a weight that would hinder my pastoring. It would be a weight that would hinder my family time. It would be a weight that would hinder many, many different things. And you know what? Sometimes, you know what? We're running this race and we're barely running because we have some excess baggage on us that might need to be trimmed or cut away. Bible says, lay aside. You're going to prepare for this race. You need to lay aside some weights that would slow you down, that would keep you running from running effectively. Also, the Bible says to lay aside the sins, them besetting sins that easily distract or entangle you and trips you up, if you will. Sin undealt with. You say, I can't handle it. Or you think you can handle it. Sin that you call it a little white sin, but you know the truth of the matter is you play with it long enough, it gets bigger. And it eventually starts weighing you down. And eventually, you know what, your countenance, I've seen it with teenagers. I've seen it with good Christian people. They're playing with one little sin. They think, you know, I can handle it. Maybe they may go ahead and look Mr. Spiritual or Miss Spiritual, and they come in with that sprint, kind of, in a way, a fake spring in their step, and you know, and so forth. And they're happy and they're excited. But the truth of the matter is, there's one little sin that they're not willing to go ahead and give God. There's one little sin that they're not willing to lay on the altar. Maybe there's other areas that they've laid at the altar, but God, you know what, you can have this, but not this one. And you know what, that one little thing, that one little sin that the Bible says to go ahead and lay aside the sins which and besetting sins, that one little sin that you're not willing to go ahead and deal with, what's it do? The devil keeps picking at it, and it gets bigger, gets bigger, gets bigger, it gets bigger, gets bigger, to a point where are you in the race? And you bowed out of the race because of one sin that you weren't willing to lay aside. Lay aside the weights and the sins which doth so easily beset you. Sin will slow you down. It'll come get you to a point where you're running your race. It'll slow you down, that you'll drop, and that you'll be sidelined, and it'll cause spiritual injury. The sin that you think no one knows about. No, you can hide it on everybody, but you can never hide it on God. Boy, whatever it is, maybe you're running a little slow this morning. Maybe you're a little ragged this morning. You're just about ready to quit. Maybe because of some unnecessary weight, or maybe because of some sin that you know needs to be laid out to God, and it's slowing you down and it's keeping you from running effectively. Well, you ought to confess it, forsake it, and lay it aside and move and run forward. You know, the rut and then the race, and run the race with patience. Boy, we hate that word, don't we? Patience. You know, we want it now. Boy, that's just the way it is. We want it. I want it now, God. Now, now, now. I want this victory now. No, it doesn't quite happen that way. I think of the Battle of Jericho. They probably would have liked to, very unusual way to go ahead and defeat Jericho, walk around the walls 7 times. You know, then at the end of the day, when it's done, shout. I mean, very, very unusual. There was no armor, no weapons or anything. Very unusual. You know what? I think the children of Israel, because I think maybe they were mocked. What are they doing? This, you know, by the world, they were laughing at them. You know, what are they doing? You know what? But listen, we want it now. I think they would have wanted it then. I want this victory now. I want the promised land now. But you know what? We got to be patient. You know, this picture is a runner. This patience picture is a runner who's in it for the long haul. Boy, you know what we need today in Christianity? People, Christians, teenagers, children, families that are in this race for the long haul. Every little whatever, every little critical word, every little financial woe, every little whatever kind of sets us off course and we quit running. Boy, you know what we need to be in this race for the long haul. We need to not just be sitting and waiting and see what comes along the way. We need to be active in serving the Lord and go forward and face every challenge and battle and not turn back. The one that will have a lot of grit and endurance, and the Christian life takes some grit and endurance, conquers every battle, and he'll conquer every battle in the power of the Lord. You know, someone has asked, what's the key to church growth? What's the key to Christian growth, period? So, well, number one, when I look at it from a church point of view, number one, I love my people. Number two, grit. Grit. You know, I've been in the ministry long enough, I've seen your pastor long enough that you know what? You got to have grit. You know what? You've been saved. Maybe you've been saved here long enough this morning. Boy, you've realized, you know, you got to have some grit, don't you? You got to have some grit. But you know, I people say, what's the key to growth? You know, to me, as far as the church is concerned, I love my people. And I'm going to have some grit. Let me say this. I may not be able to preach a lick, but I promise you there's not going to be a pastor that loves his people any more than I do. Promise you that. Oh, I may fall short from time to time, but let me tell you something. You can know that I'm praying for you every day, praying for this church and its ministries every single day. But you got to have some grit. Takes grit to do that. And then number three, consider the Savior. Consider those who ran on before, the heroes of the faith, cheering you on, that ran on before. Consider yourself, prepare yourself for that race, and then consider the Savior. As you run this race, consider Jesus. You know, he finished. Will you? He finished with flying colors. Will you? His race started in poverty and ended in pain on that cross. His race was a race that led him around a track that was lined with hatred and bitterness and opposition and a people's desire to go ahead and kill him, but he kept running. His race was a race that set a perfect example on how we should run our race. Jesus, he never faltered, so we must not. He should be our example. He never lost sight of his goal. What was his goal? The cross, a painful cross for the sins of the whole world. But we must not go ahead and lose sight of the goal. We must not quit until the goal has been achieved. Hey, when you feel like quitting, you just consider Jesus and his race. Consider the reason for him not quitting. For the joy, the Bible says, that was set before him. What was the joy in going to the cross? I don't see a whole lot of joy in going to the cross. But he says that was for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy of dying on a cross like a common criminal? Where was the joy in being despised and rejected of men? Jesus, the joy of that day was the day of redemption that would bring the salvation of sinners, the day that he would be in heaven with all the redeemed. The joy for Jesus was the day that he would reclaim his glory and be back on his throne beside his Father, the day that he would reunite with his Father, the day there would be a new heaven and a new earth where all the redeemed would be worshiping God. There'd be no more sin. There'd be no more mockery. There'd be no more hatred towards God. For Jesus, the joy was the day when salvation would be ultimately completed, sin destroyed forever, and Satan forever banished into hell, and perfect righteousness would rule and reign. That was the joy that was set before Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus ran. He was able to look past the cross, look past the shame, look beyond everything, and guess who he saw? You. That's why he ran. 33 years. Unusual birth. Unusual ministry. The mocking. He didn't even have a place to lay his head in his ministry. People would scourge him. People, you know, everything that went on. But you know what? He kept running his race. Consider Jesus. In your race, you need to come to the point. And I'm almost through. Well, you look beyond the circumstances and the situations that come by your path of life and see the day when you will meet the Savior face to face. And what a day that's going to be. What a day that will be. Jesus looked beyond our faults and he saw our need. He was resolved to go through much to provide a way for you to heaven. He never quit. In spite of all the scourging, in spite of all that he went through, he never quit. You know, on that cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he died alone on that cross for you and me. He never quit. He never quit. Will you quit? How was your race this morning? No doubt that some of you are kind of tired, kind of weary. Talked to one of you during handshake and lost a family member this last week, didn't you? Maybe some of you lost a job. Maybe there's just other certain things that just come and you just feel like, man, boom, boom, boom. Kind of tired, aren't you? I want you to consider those who ran before. I want you to consider yourself, and if you go ahead and quit, what will it do for others around you? What would it do for that son that looks up to you, Dad? What would it do for that daughter that looks up to you, Mom? What would it do for that church that looks up to you, preacher? What would it do for that class that looks up to you, Sunday school teacher? What would it do for that bus route that looks up to you, bus captain? What would it do for that that bus route that looks up to you, bus driver? What would it do for that bus route that looks up to you, bus worker? What would it do for you that looks up to you, whatever position it is? How will it affect others? Consider yourself and consider others that are watching you. Hey, and then consider Jesus. He didn't quit. He kept running. Why don't you go ahead and play it? Play that song, Keep Running On. Listen to the words. Some of you this morning, you're probably struggling. I'll admit, this message came in light of a difficult few days. The preacher has them. We all have them. And I found a lot of strength in reading these scriptures. You know what? And I found strength in considering, most of all, that third point, considering Jesus, because he never quit. Keep running on. Listen, church, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'm going to encourage you, keep running on. You might be here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Why don't you start running today? It's the greatest race to run. Yeah, there's problems, there's trials, but you know what? You may be sitting here, you're not saved today. You've got problems and trials too, don't you, right now?
Do you know the greatest joy of being a Christian and going through the problems and trials? You have Jesus right beside you. You know that you have Jesus right beside you. You know that he's never leaving you or forsake you. Keep running on. Dad, you close to quitting that marriage? Mama, you close to quitting? A little bit of fighting going on? Church member? Ministry worker? Teenager? I'm encouraging you today. Keep running on. Just listen to the words one more time. Go ahead.
Preacher cheering you on. But look beyond that. You look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and he kept running on. You can also look in the whole host of heroes in chapter Hebrews 11 who kept running on. What we need today, church, is Christians who are in it for the long haul. Every little whatever that comes our way has a tendency to blow us off course. But are you willing to go ahead and stand? I'm just going to keep running. You may fall. You may stumble. But get up and keep running on. I've had some recent days that were pretty difficult. But you know what? I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm in this thing for the long haul. And the reason why, and I'm being very personal a minute, of course, for Jesus' sake, I want to be able to give back as many crowns and rewards to him as possible. That's because I'm going to keep running. And the reason why is because of my church, because I visualize my people, you. The reason why is because of my wife and my kids, that they need somebody to go ahead and keep running. And I hope by my running, it's going to allow them to keep, you know what, my dad will run, I'm going to run. And I hope, and please, I'm not trying to be boastful, but I hope that because the preacher's going to run, the church will run. church will keep running. And all along the way, you gotta keep focal point on Jesus Christ. Our church will always keep Jesus number one. Always. We're going to keep the Bible. We're going to keep the music. We're going to keep the standards of the old time religion. Because that, I know, is the best way to keep running on. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you, and rather unusual message for a Sunday morning, but God, you've encouraged me. I sure do thank you for your word, and I thank you for our times together this week, Lord. I thank you for being so real to me, to my family. I pray, dear God, that you would be just as real to somebody here that really needs you. I am sure that there's some darkness in the life of somebody today. They're discouraged. Something is up. I don't know what it is, but you do, God. I pray, Lord, that if they're on the verge of being sidelined in this so ever-important race, that they'll find the strength that they need, they'll muster up any energy that they can get, and they'll keep running on. I pray, Lord, that maybe there's someone here today, they're not even running this path of the Christian life because they've not gotten saved, and that's where it starts. I pray, dear Lord, that they leave here this morning with that true spring in their step, knowing Jesus as their Savior, who will lift up the burdens and who will carry them all the way through their Christian life. I pray, Lord, that you do business this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here today you say, preacher, saved, I'm on my way to heaven, but God spoke to me this morning. I needed that. Would you just raise your hand? I won't call you by name, but I needed that. That's me. Would you please pray for me? Anybody else? Anybody else? Several hands. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here today. Say, preacher, you know, I'm not on that race. I'm not even in that Christian race. I'm not even saved. That's where it begins. Maybe here today you say, boy, I want to be a child of God, and I want to have the joy in knowing Jesus as my Savior, and I want to start running my race today. You're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I won't call you by name, but would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Anybody like that today? You don't know Jesus as Savior, but would you please pray for me? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to do your work in this service, in this invitation, at this time. In Jesus' name. Our heads about our eyes, and we sure do love you, and we do again thank you for your word, how real it is, how it touches lives, and we thank you for the decisions made this morning. You know what they are. I pray, God, that whatever it is, that we'll just keep on running. Our church keep on running. Individually, we'll keep running the race that you've given us, Lord, and be a good testimony for you, and just keep on keeping on for you. I pray, Lord, that you just bless us as we go our separate ways, bring us back safely tonight. Lord, we thank you again for all that you've done today. In Jesus' name, amen.